Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from the 10th canto, 87th chapter, text 34. Let's see. I'm not sure, so I'm the expert at this tune, but Svajana suttatma dara dana dama dara shuratas. Is that right? Is that okay? Okay. Ntvai sati kim nrinam sriyata atmani sarvarase. Iti sad ajanatam mitanato ratayet charatam. Sukayati konva viha sva vihate sva nirasta bhage. We have Prang Govinda chant this one. Can you chant it? Vajana sutatma dara dana dama dara shuratas. Jai sati kim nirinam sriyata sati sarvarase. Iti sada janatam mitunato raktaya charatyam. Sukayati kon viha sva vihate sva nirasta bhage. Please. Svajana sukatma dara dana dana dara surata. Jai sati kim nrinam sarata atmani sarvarase. Iti sada janatam mitunato rataya saratam. Sukayati kondiya svarihati svarihasvabhage. Svajana sukadma dara dana dama dara suratare. Dvai sati kim nirinam svayata ati sukurasi. Iti sada janatam itunata rataya charatam. Any ladies would like to chant? Sajana Sutatma Jaya Dana Dana Dara Surate Dvai Sati Kim Nunam Jaya Tatma Nizarvarate Iti sada jana tam ito nato rataya chadatam. Sukaya ti kongriya swahi harkesha nirasa bhakti. No word for word. Svajana, with servants. Sutta, children. Atma, body. Dara, wife. Dana, money. Dhamma, om. Dara, land. Asu, and vitality. Ratai, and vehicles. Twayi, when you, Sati, have become. Kim, what use? Nrinam, for human beings. Shrayata, who are taking shelter. Atmani, their very self. Swarase. Sarvarase. The embodiment of all pleasures. Iti. Thus. Sat. The truth. Ajanatam. For those who fail to appreciate. Mitunata. From sexual combinations. Rataye, for sensual indulgence. Chayatam, carrying on. Sukayate, gives happiness. Ka, what? Nu, at all. Iha, in this world. Swa, by its nature. Well, by its very nature. Vihate, which is subject to destruction. Swa, by its very nature. Nirasta, which is devoid. Bhage, of any essence. Translation and purport by the disciples of Sri Prabhupada. To those persons who take shelter of you, you reveal yourself as the Supersoul, the embodiment of all transcendental pleasure. What further use have such devotees for their servants, children, or bodies, their wives, money, or houses, their land, good health, or conveyances? And for those who fail to appreciate the truth about you and go on pursuing the pleasures of sex, what could there be in this world, a place inherently doomed to destruction and devoid of significance, that could give them real happiness? Please repeat. To those persons who take shelter of you, you reveal yourself as the Supersoul, the embodiment of all transcendental pleasure. What further use have such devotees for their servants? Children or bodies? Their wives, money, or houses? Their land, good health, or conveyances? And for those who fail to appreciate the truth, about you, and go on pursuing the pleasures of sex, what could there be in this entire world? A place inherently doomed to destruction, and devoid of significance, that could give them real happiness. Purport. Devotional service to Lord Vishnu is considered pure when one's sole desire is to please the Lord. Situated in that perfect consciousness, a Vaishnav has no further interest in worldly gains and is thus excused from any obligations to perform ritual sacrifices and follow austere practices of yoga. In the Mundaka Upanishad, 1.2.12 states, Pariksha lokan karma kritan vamano nirvedam ayan nasti akrita kritena. When a Brahmin recognizes that elevation to the heavenly planets is merely another accumulation of karma, he becomes renounced and is no longer corrupted by his actions. In the Brihadaranyaka 4.49 and the Katha 6.14 Upanishads confirm, Yada sarve pramuchante kama yesya hiri sutta atha marcho mrito pavati atra brahma samasmute. When a person gives up all the sinful desires he is harboring in his heart, when a person completely gives up all the sinful desires he is harboring in his heart, he exchanges mortality for the eternal spiritual life and attains real pleasure in the absolute truth. And the Gopal Tapani Upanishad 4.15 concludes, Bhaktir asya bhajanam tat iha mutro pari nairasyan asmusmin mana kalpana etad eva naiskarmyam. Devotional service is the process of worshiping the Supreme Lord. It consists of fixing one's mind upon him and by becoming disinterested in all material designations, both in this life and the next. This indeed is true renunciation. The items the Shrutis mention here are all measures of worldly success. Svajana, servants, Atma, a beautiful body, Sutta, the children to be proud of, Dara, an attractive and competent spouse, Dhanam, financial assets, Dhamma, a prestigious residence, Dara, holdings of land, Asava, health and strength, and Rata, cars and other vehicles that display one's status. But one who has begun to experience the ecstasy of devotional service loses all attraction for these things. Since he finds real satisfaction in the Supreme Lord, the reservoir of all pleasures, who enjoys by sharing his own pleasures with his servitors. And we are each free to choose the course of our life, and we can either dedicate our body, mind, words, talents, and wealth to the glory of God, or else we can ignore him and struggle instead for our personal happiness. The second path leads to a life of slavery to sex and ambition, in which the soul never feels real satisfaction, but instead suffers continually. Vaishnavas are distressed to see materialists suffering in this way, and so they always strive to enlighten them. Srila Sridhar Swami prays, Bhajato hi bhavan sakshad paramananda chidana Atmaiva kim atatityam duchadara sutadidi. For those who worship you, you become their very self, their spiritual treasure of topmost bliss. What further use have they for mundane wives, children, and so forth? Om Gana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitanyena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamala Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Lalita Sri Sadvaitam Savadutam Krishna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakamitam Sha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwe Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripye Vanchakopa Tsurubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Pachitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnava Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this verse, we're talking about the realization and experience of pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord. This pure devotional service is the actual activity that yields real happiness for the soul. Once that is experienced, there is no longer anything attractive, any real happiness to be found in this material world. This we know and understand from studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, and especially from Nectar of Devotion. When the characteristics of pure devotional service are that when a first-class devotional service begins or develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge attained by monistic philosophy, fruit and fruit of action. A devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. So these devotional activities consist of both positive activities with the mind, body, and words, and negative things that should be avoided in the mind, with the mind, body, and words. And devotional service itself has to be a systematic cultivation. So step by step, one develops and practices the activities of pure devotional service and gradually gives up philosophical and speculation and the search for karmic activities, karmic results, fruitive activities. This is hard for the conditioned soul because he's so much accustomed to return, to look for a return for everything he does in this material world. He's hoping that whatever I give, I will get something back. There must be this this type of reciprocation, this type of interaction with whoever and wherever he performs his activities. So he's accustomed to this type of fruitive response to his activities, that he enjoys something. He's getting something back that he's going to enjoy. And then second thing, he's got a difficulty that he's not so easily inclined to accept only Krishna or Guru's words as absolute and put full faith in this as the truth. It's difficult because he's so used to trying to decide for himself what is the truth, and he sometimes takes shelter of many inferior sources of information and guidance in this material world, which have actually all proven to be false for him. But he's accustomed to do this, and so he's not quickly taking shelter of the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam, as we've studied here, and the instructions of Guru. But this alone will give him real happiness. So this experience, devotional service, in a pure and uncontaminated form, is actually 180 degrees difference from what the non-devotee experiences in life. And it is very hard, therefore, for them to comprehend and what to speak of practicing it. They hear about it, and if they're a little pious, they begin some appreciation. This is actually something wonderful, something different and satisfying, but it is a big step. I know myself, when I'm speaking with some of these people who are newly interested in Krishna consciousness, it's a challenge to help them understand and practice the activities of devotional service. They may find them a little pleasing, but to take it up as a regular activity and to take actual shelter of it is difficult without a constant association with devotees. Many of us here have had that good fortune in our training to be in that association of devotees under the guidance, the careful guidance of Srila Prabhupada, so that we actually had that opportunity of a full immersion and in with the protective surroundings of devotees who have been guiding us, supporting us, and protecting us. But without that, it becomes a very difficult challenge with the conditioned soul. They come into this exposure of Krishna consciousness and they see that to give up so many things. But they see it all as a matter of don't do this, don't do that, and actually taking up activities that they're not so inclined. It was very interesting. Last week I had one young student with us for the weekend from Tampa. And after being with him from a day and taking him out to a program we had in Tallahassee, at the end, he came and he said to me, "You know, it's a little difficult traveling with you. You guys, you don't listen to anything else except Krishna." What happened? You know, this is a little hard for me. I have so many other desires, so many other things I want to hear and do. He appreciated the value, but it was just, you know, too big of a step for him at this point. So without that supportive structure of devotees around one, it does become quite difficult, quite a challenge. Therefore, one is encouraged to take that shelter of devotees, not only in the beginning, but constantly, because that society, which Prabhupada has given us, actually protects us. And it supports us. Just like if you're planting in a garden, and you, let's say, plant some plant like these snap peas. Anyone's ever planted or grown a garden with snap peas? They grow kind of up a long. They just keep traveling on and on. But they need some support to hang on. They need a fence or some kind of structure to hold on. Otherwise, they don't grow very well just lying on the ground by themselves. So we also need that support so that we can grow properly, so we can become strengthened, and so that we can become accustomed to giving up these sinful desires, as explained in this one verse, that we're harboring in our heart, and then exchange those and that mortality that comes with those sinful desires for eternal spiritual life and the real pleasure of the absolute truth. So this process is a continuous process. It's not a one-time activity that suddenly everything's done 1 second. It can be. Potential is there, but generally it takes a ongoing progression, an ongoing practice to become strengthened, to become strong. Just like around my house, we have these different kind of wild vines that grow. And some are like grapevines or something, like wild grapes. And when they first come, they're just a fragile little creeper. But over time, if they grow without any interruption, that stem becomes thicker and thicker, almost like a tree. We actually have some that are about like this big around, quite big, strong, and heavy. So they gain strength, but it takes time. So our devotional service, our devotional creeper, can become strong like that, but it takes time. So then when it becomes strong, we're talking about in this verse, when it becomes strong, that a pure devotee does not seek any more material gains by his devotional service. He's not in some exchange with Krishna, with God. Because the average materialist, that is what he's thinking. I will do something if whatever I get back. It has to benefit me. What is that exchange I'm getting? What is that calculation? How will I be benefited by this? And so simply to look at a spiritual benefit is appreciated but seems incomplete to the materially minded person. It is not sufficient. So this exchange of material desires actually for practices of Krishna consciousness, for spiritual service to the Supreme Lord, is actually a process that has to go on. You know, we describe it also, as Lord Chaitanya has instructed, chaito dharpana marjanam. That is a cleansing of the heart, a purifying of the heart, so that gradually one becomes clear as to what is actual reality. What actually is his most beneficial for him. And at that point, and then gradually his mind can become fixed and not uncontrolled. So it's a gradual process for us, but done by service and surrender to the spiritual master. Under his direction, without his direction, one is not going to be fixed in the goal of life, and thus he will experience so many kinds of material desires. So as a devotee is gradually developing, he's struggling with these desires which plague him, which haunt him like so many ghosts and witches trying to take away that realization, that happiness of Krishna consciousness, until he actually finally gives them up once and for all. Then he finds that his real happiness is coming from Krishna, who is actually very eager to exchange with him all kinds of interactions that will give great pleasure, fully satisfying pleasure to the individual. But in the beginning, he doesn't completely understand this. He doesn't fully accept this. So it was interesting in preparing for this class, I came upon reading the account by Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj of his development, his practices in Krishna consciousness, how he began and he was serving Srila Prabhupada. And at one point he was actually called by Srila Prabhupada to do service and help expand Krishna consciousness in Europe. And he took that very enthusiastically, with great eagerness. But at that time, he was not a sannyasi. He was still, he was a householder. He had his wife. So he recalls that at one point, there was some letter came, some telegram from Srila Prabhupada. And he writes as this, as follows. He said, I had many responsibilities in Paris. Practically all the devotees, both new and old, sought my direction in all their affairs. But Prabhupada's urgent telegram took precedence over everything. Within hours of receiving the message, I hurriedly settled up any pending matters, purchased my ticket for America, and totally disentangled myself, leaving my personal possessions in the hands of my wife, and I departed that very evening for America. So he got a request, a telegram, to please come to Los Angeles immediately, and he did that. Same day. That was his dedication to Srila Prabhupada. And he writes further that this is the mood of service and separation. The spirit behind our careful attention to all details is the desire to please the spiritual master. It is he only who we are actually meditating upon, who inspires us throughout the performance of our service. Our sole purpose is his satisfaction, and through such fixed attention, we attain his association. Therefore, when the object of our meditation actually calls us, we drop all such details of service because, in a sense, our goal has been achieved. The person who we are aspiring to please, to be with, whose attention we are hoping to attract, has now called. This meditation and service mood was perfectly demonstrated by Krishna's foremost devotees, the gopis of Vrindavan. They were merged in the constant remembrance of Krishna, always hoping to meet with him at every moment. And when Krishna actually called them, playing upon his flute, they immediately dropped whatever they were doing, and not caring for any other responsibilities, they rushed to meet him. Because the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna, to develop these strong feelings of attachment for him in separation is non-different than the feelings of separation for Krishna. Thus, the spiritual master brings his disciples to the highest devotional perfection by stimulating such loving dealings on behalf of Krishna. And it is also a reciprocation. It wasn't simply that the disciple was only feeling something. But he writes further that Srila Prabhupada was deeply moved by reverent feelings of his disciples. While smiling, sharing the joy they felt in being with him, he was equally thankful to them for helping him in serving his Guru Maharaj. So the spiritual master gives one taste of this exchange between the devotee and Krishna. And it is the first focal point that one has as one becomes attracted and dedicated to the service of Krishna. So it is very important, as Samal Krishna Maharaj has given this his statement, that if we can develop this, and the more we can develop this spirit of service and separation, that it is very positive, very helpful for us to advance and become fixed in our Krishna consciousness. So another point was made here, which I thought was real significant, is that the purport, it was mentioned that our real freedom comes from dedicating our body, mind, and words, everything to Krishna. So this point of freedom is actually mentioned elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 6, text 37, where in the purport, Prabhupada says, similarly, the transcendental system of devotional service is also free. It may or may not develop in a particular person even after he undergoes all the detailed formulas. Similarly, the association of devotees is also free. One may be fortunate to have it, or one may not have it even after thousands of endeavors. Therefore, in all spheres of devotional service, freedom is the main pivot. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. To surrender unto the Lord through the transparent medium of the spiritual master is to attain complete freedom of life. So this freedom has two aspects. One is that at every moment we are free to choose. Free to choose to take up the order of Guru, to serve Krishna, or not, to remain attached to material desires. And when one executes, takes advantage of that freedom, then he experiences actual freedom that is described in this verse that we're studying today. That he gains his eternal spiritual life and attains the real pleasure in the absolute truth. So this is the nature of this freedom that we're seeking to attain, that we're actively pursuing as a goal of life. But how to translate this, how to inculcate this in a person who is just becoming associated with Krishna? So this is a challenge. Definitely a challenge, because it takes time. Definitely it takes time. It's usually not something that happens overnight. Some devotees may take weeks, months, even years. Many of us who join Krishna consciousness, when Srila Prabhupada was present, it seemed like it was like an instantaneous experience. I know our friend Divyanga, he explains that he met the devotees and they immediately put him in the van and took him on Sankirtan at the same time as he meeting the devotees. So instantly he was connected, surrounded by devotees, and engaged in the service of Srila Prabhupada. Now, my own experiences is that, you know, as I heard the message of Srila Prabhupada, it was a very relatively quick progression. Within the matter of weeks, a few months, I completely changed all my habits, giving up all my previous sinful activities, and took fully on to the experience, to the practice of devotional service. And I'm sure many of you it was even faster. But nowadays, people seem to need much more time. It takes them a while, in general, to make this progression. So how can we make it stronger for them? How can we make it simpler for them so they can make this transition? This is a question that has been on my mind now for some time. And I want to bring this back to you, because you are all very experienced devotees. You could help me find the answer to this question. So I'm looking forward to anyone who would like to contribute something and help us. Yes, nothing.
A few days ago, Govinda Dasi was explaining to a few of us from her realization that in the early days, Srila Prabhupada actually, well, Krishna had us sort of picked out and kind of plucked us and placed us in ISKCON. If I'm quoting her correctly, at the time it made a lot of sense. I don't know if I'm quoting her properly, but it kind of seems like when Prabhupada was here, a lot of us were, you know, in the right place at the right time. You know, I don't know how that happened, but to get the movement going, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it got going, and now it's going, and it's spreading all over the world. I think in the West, we don't, that's where most of the seeds were planted in the beginning. I think personally that the seeds have all been planted, and you know, I think it's going to take time for for all that to fructify. When it does, it's going to be just like everybody's going to start blooming. But around the world, you know, we see that is already happening. But there's so much, so many books have gone out that it's just the seeds have been planted. I think it's just a matter of time before these little seeds and seedlings start popping, you know?
Okay.
Anyway.
Thank you. Oh, there's the microphone. Anyone else? Madan Mohan, you want to say something? Oh, Charles.
Yeah, as a relative newcomer, I'd say the fundamental difference between your period and now is Prabhupada himself. He was the archetypal charismatic guru, and you would do anything for him. I mean, he said to Yamuni Devi that she would lay down her life for him, and he would do the same for her. So that's inspiring leadership. I mean, that's what a military general does, you know, with the loyalty in the ranks, what a good king will do. And so that's clearly what we need, is a similar sort of inspiring leadership that will lead the charge and inspire people to great achievements. I mean, it's very clear. I mean, that's the same as in any situation. So that's where we stand right now. So,
Keshwa.
I propose we order an inspiring leader out of Krishna.com catalog, and that'll solve our problems. But
I'm not sure I got that.
I had a point, but I lost it.
The humor is gone. Take it away.
I remember the point.
You know, we talk about all these people being inspired and joining, and I think Linda Dasi has an interesting concept there that she was discussing. I mean, I hate to burst some of the bubble, but a lot of those devotees are no longer active, and perhaps the vast majority of them could be here in this community that are. So, I mean, there was a real tremendous upside there, but it wasn't all a hop, skip, and a jump. There was some real realities, you know, like it's always difficult to deal with the present because that's what you have to deal with. It's much easier to deal with the past because you can be selective of what you like and choose what you want to call. You know, so I think, you know, we have our challenges now, and in one sense they're Krishna's gifts, so to us. So I we can embrace that. Doesn't mean it's any less of a challenge, but it could be, I think, along the lines of Govinda Dasi, that the seeds are planted, and I mean, Prabhupada spent decades, it didn't seem like much was happening. So, I don't know, just another perspective.
Well, I know there was this one statement Prabhupada made, I read it recently, that he said, I have to spend gallons of blood to convince these Westerners to follow this philosophy. They are not easily convinced. So, he's saying it wasn't easy to make us devotees. Go ahead.
There's kind of like a everyone's assuming it seems like the direction of this discussion's going in is that what took place when Prabhupada was present isn't possible now. Mm. Kind of like there's a, well, how do we do it, you know? But it actually, there are locations within the ISKCON world where this type of, you know, people joining in big numbers and very quickly, it's happening.
Yeah, and definitely. It is happening in certain locations.
It is happening. You know, and there are formulas that Prabhupada enunciated as to how that could happen. I mean, and you go back to the seven purposes of ISKCON, and you know the mood that projects that have imbibed the mood that's in those seven purposes, which is, you know, to educate devotees. You know, that you look at, some real classic examples are Chopadi and Pune. They weren't thriving temples. until they implemented powerful educational programs. And then people came in big numbers. Radhanath Swami, he started, Radhanath Swami is a really strong and charismatic leader, there's no question about that, but what he did, because he accepted this principle, when he took over in Chopati, it was like a mess. And what he did, he took some sincere devotees, some sincere brahmacharis, and from what I understand, I think it was 3 years, he had he gave them brahmachari class for 4 or 5 hours a day and from that base, and they all bought into this kind of training and education, and then they took it up, and then it just expanded like very, very quickly. Same thing in Pune, it's still going on there. Everybody is involved with education and training. That's how they recruit. That's where they go out into the universities, and they have, yeah. What's it called? I'm trying to think what Radhisham's course is. Can't think of the name of it, but they do it everywhere, in every university.
Yeah.
And then they, and there's like a huge number of people just taking that course, they become interested, and then they pull them in. That principle is applicable anywhere. It may be difficult because it was difficult in Chopati, but there was a concerted effort to...
And we may be seeing now the results of years of development. Now it seems like they go in and they come out with 10, 20, 30 people from one program.
That's
I think in the beginning it may have been one or two people,
Yeah, it grew slowly, but the principles were very clearly laid out by Prabhupada. And where that's done, also in Russia, that's how they recruit. Mm. They have courses. And people, they become, wow, this is great. So, it can be done, not easy.
Yeah, I mean, I know if when you just speak philosophy, most of the people, they say this is way over our head.
Well, it has to be...
new people.
Has to be done in a way that makes it attractive. That's the skill of the preacher.
It does. Mother Sukada, can we let her speak now? Anyway, could you run this microphone over to her for me? Keshav is not as limber as he used to be.
So one thing is when we talk about the past, it makes it sound like it's so far away, but actually, Prabhupada was so recently. I think in linear terms, 50 years, but actually Prabhupada, we have so much primary sources of historical information, including all these tapes by Srila Prabhupada and devotees who have had personal association with Prabhupada, so much, I think more than any other religious leader historically. We're so fortunate that we have all the tapes, all the videos, all the books, about Prabhupada's life. And I gave a whole Vyasa Puja class one time just about the three major weapons that Srila Prabhupada gave us, which is Prabhupada's books, Harinam, chanting the holy name, and Prasadam. And this temple is doing a lot of that, and is doing a lot of that with distributing prasadam at the university, also Santa Fe lunch, also so many different events, and Harinam's Rath Yatras, it's all going on, and it's maybe imperceptibly sometimes, but
yeah.
it is changing the world, and it's important to remember how important those programs are, that we are able. Just like tomorrow, there's a Harinam at Fernandino Beach. So important. People there don't see us very often. So when devotees go out and chant, and besides going to different places, as we chant sincerely, it goes around the world so many times, I think Prabhupada 7 times, purifying everything in its path. So this process is so dynamic. We know that it's going to go to every town and village and farm because Lord Chaitanya said so. And Prabhupada gave us the the materials, the knowledge to do it. So, and it's just a matter of who's going to take advantage of it. It's going to spread. Are we going to be able, can we be the instrument? Nimitta Matram, just become an instrument? If we can become an instrument, then we'll blissfully be able to execute Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya's order. Or we can sit back and think, oh, things aren't as good as they used to be. This is right now, it's happening. We're part of it. And we're so fortunate to be able to be here now, so close to the time that Srila, whether we saw Srila Prabhupada or not, there's so much association. Anyway, it's just what I wanted to say.
Anyway, don't mistake. I'm not criticizing anything that's going on now. I'm just trying to get a deeper understanding from all of you as to more of the success in all of this. Now, Mother Madhumati has something she would like to say. Oh, excuse me. You want to speak first? Sorry.
Well, I had one other little angle that I know as Americans, when we want something, we want it now.
Yes.
So for us that are already surrendered, trying to surrender, we don't understand why can't everybody just surrender? But because the prasadam is going out, the harinam's going out, the books have gone out by the millions, we want it. Okay, why now? Why hasn't it, we want it yesterday. But for a lot of us, we may not even see this in our lifetime, We're only talking 20 years for some of us, if that, The most 30, that's not very long. As I know for myself, I saw the devotees in 1967 in New York, and I didn't join until I think 10 years later, So for a lot of these people that may not see the devotees for, say, 10 years, and then they surrender later, we won't see that, So that was just something I wanted to throw.
And another way that we can see the effect of all these practices is that when the movement first started, being a vegetarian was just plain weird. It was just weird. You were weird if you were a vegetarian. Now it's like it's just common. Airplanes, everybody has vegetarian entrees. Every restaurant practically has. So that's one effect. Another effect is that kirtan. There's so many, offshoots now of the kirtan. There's a rabbi kirtan, Jewish kirtan. It may not be exactly the way, but it's just become more standard. So many, that's one of the ways we can see the effects too, is that people are changing yoga. Look at how yoga has spread. That was also very weird before Srila Prabhupada came. So there's so many secondary effects.
So I also agree that it's been so many effects, and we're continuing to perform devotional activities, preaching activities that will and do yield effects. But I'm just looking also specifically help people transition into devotional service. How to make that easier for them.
Well, I don't think I'm going to be answering your question, but I just wanted to tell a story, hearing about how the effects are, effects of the internet. One devotee who is a postman, Jagdish Prabhu, so he tells us all kinds of stories when he is going out and doing his run, delivering mail. So he just told this to us yesterday, that he was going to deliver his mail, and in his car, kirtan is always going. So when he delivered this mail to this person, this old person who is 73 years old, he said, "Now you have that going on. What is, are you?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm a Hare Krishna and da da da." And he said, this old man, he said, "I love that. I've been hearing this kirtan on the internet." So he's a musician, and so he, I guess things come on the side or whatever, and he, clicked that, and so he says, "I just love to hear the kirtan." And so then Jagdish Prabhu told him, "You go on Kirtan Mela and press this," and so then now he just goes to Kirtan Mela and hears, he loves kirtan, and the next time Jagdish Prabhu came and he said, "I want to go to Mayapur." And he's like, "When you go to Mayapur, please, I really want to go to Mayapur." So here he is. He's hearing the kirtan, and he has desire to go to Mayapur. So it's amazing the kind of preaching that we don't realize goes on, you know, whether it's Harinam out there or internet. And as I said, he tells us many stories about meeting with people and how they are interested in Krishna consciousness.
Certainly. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I would have to ask, you know, one person, your good husband, if he would like to contribute something, because he has so much wealth of experience and realization.
I'm just like you, Amir Prabhu. I'm just trying to hear what the devotees say and what their experiences are so that it can help develop my service. So if I have anything to add, I just like to hear from the devotees.
But you've also heard from other groups outside of this room, so maybe you could share anything that you've heard.
Everything I've heard, they've been said very enthusiastically by Mother Sukadeva and others here today. So I think that there's sort of consensus on what's been said here today, what Janmasmi said about education and things. So,
okay.
I think that's a good discussion. Thank you for bringing that.
I also noticed that, you know, when I took this boy to Krishna House, and then he saw young people who were very new to Krishna consciousness and saw their enthusiasm and their commitment, even though their transition was fairly recent. And it did seem to very much encourage him. You know, otherwise, we look like some way up here and they're way down here, and how do I get from there to there? It's too far. But, you know, in Krishna House, they're very successful in getting these people, and it's got a whole atmosphere, and they have some level of enthusiasm, which is very contagious and very successful. So I don't know if that's an atmosphere we can create here in some ways, but it does seem to be helpful. Mother Sukada, did you want to? Who's got the mic? You got the mic. Okay, could you run that over to her?
Just one other point. I'll make it quick, but there was a quote, I don't know who said it, but we've met the enemy and it is us. It's kind of a famous quote. So, and I remember the story. There's like a church and they're not getting so much attendance, right? It's like people have fallen away. And,
yes.
And so they go to someone to ask advice. What should they do to improve the situation? And they tell the three who have come, well, you know, the Messiah is among you. It's like one of you. So when they hear that, they're like, whoa, you know, the Messiah is among us. So they change the behavior and they start treating each other like in a very special way, because maybe it's him, maybe it's this one, maybe it's that one. And because they're expressing such a loving mood between each other, people start coming to the congregation and staying because they are appreciating the loving exchanges that are going on. So that is also one way that we can improve, is just by improving the relationships that we have with each other, understanding that, you know, sometimes we take each other for granted, but, you know, take yourself out of the association of devotees just for, like, I happened to be in the emergency room with a devotee recently, and I saw a devotee who's, you would say, quote unquote, you know, fringy devotee, but in that situation, I was like, Hari Bol. He came over, we sat down, we were talking, I was just appreciating this person so much, you know, that they had taken up the process of devotional service. So that's like also a very concrete, positive way that we can improve ourselves and improve our movement, is just by really appreciating who's here. You know, all around the board, the youth, you know, our God brothers, God sisters, and everyone that contributes anything, we should appreciate, because that's what Prabhupada did. You know, when the man brought a roll of, I guess it was toilet paper in on, you know, what? Second Avenue, right. That was, Prabhupada appreciated, that was his devotional service. So, just...
Yeah, when I was in Gainesville, I met this one young devotee. You may know her, the daughter of Yadubar and Shaka. Hari Priya, yeah. And we were talking briefly, and I asked her if she was one of the famous milkmaids of Jamuna Devi. And she was. And we discussed it very briefly, and she told me her realization that whoever came to see her, came to see Jamuna, Mataji, she was just so non-judgmental and so giving. In fact, she said she was so giving that even when she was suffering with her debilitating diseases at the end, and the girls didn't even know it because she was just giving so much, and they couldn't see what was going on in her life. She was just always giving. And non-judgmental. She said if someone came that had been, you know, away from practices, young or old, she didn't even want to discuss all the problems, didn't judge them, just welcomed them and gave them so much love and affection. So it seemed like not easy to imitate that or to follow that, but it's when that generally happens, it creates a change of heart and a real attraction. So you're very correct in that. I don't know if there's a way to institutionalize that. It seems more like individuals have to personally grow into that level of, you know, love, giving what we've got, what we've been giving. And the more you give, the more you have. It's very interesting. You can give away, and then you have more than what you started with. So Madan Mohan is very eager to say something. Could you? We're just about, we're over time. We'll take this to be the last comment unless there's something urgent.
When you were mentioning it, maybe someday this year will become like that with more educational situations. I was thinking here we have Janmashtami who works tirelessly day and night trying to establish that. And he's got this program that's coming, what's it, next month. He's bringing in these world-class...
And he's very excellent association for all of us.
So it's we can see that there are people here that are doing it, and it is happening here. Too.
And actually, it's very reasonable, not very expensive, and it's certainly a wonderful opportunity that you don't have to make a huge endeavor. Just come to the temple, and it's happening right here. So I guess this is kind of a backward plug for Janmashtami's service here, but I think I would encourage everyone to take advantage, to check it out and try and take advantage and, you know, and participate in some of these activities. Charles wants to know how to do that. Uh-huh. Mathematician.
He was talking about God, you know, the whole lecture, the hall was full, absolutely full. And he was introduced both by the president of UF and by the president of Santa Fe College, which was apparently unique. So that's a big deal. So, you know, that kind of, the curiosity is there, no question about it. So, you know, these kind of lectures where you get big name lecturers to come, it should be obviously open for everybody. I mean, that's the point.
Very good idea, yeah. We should. Yeah, well, what Janmashtami is organizing is definitely open to everyone. All right, let's end here. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.